Almighty God, as we prepare with joy to celebrate the gift of Christ Jesus, embrace the earth with your glory and be for us a living and true hope in our lives, that we may recognize the hope that comes to us in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. This morning's scripture is very familiar to you. It comes out of Luke 2. It's 1 through 21. I'm going to read out of the New International Version. If you follow along in your pew Bibles, you're in the King James Version, so it may sound a little different, but it's all in the same message. So beginning with verse 1, let's go to the Lord in Scripture. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census of its kind, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth into Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting with child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room for them in the local inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all of the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying the following: "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child earlier. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was to be conceived. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Your message this morning is entitled Onward. In keeping with Brian's tradition, I will be short and sweet, I hope. We can teach him to count, we'll be in good shape. So here we are. Here we are, literally the day after Christmas. So how are you doing? How you feeling? What's your demeanor? What's your spirit like this morning? Are you still buzzing with the excitement of Christmas in your heart? Or do you feel like a Riverheads running back after you have been hit from afar by a blindside strike? Dr. Moore would call this getting your bell rung. Do you feel that way? Maybe you are just a little run down, perhaps. tired from all the festivities, maybe just simply wiped out. How do you feel? Where are you? Are you perhaps re-energized after a night's rest, ready for this new year to get started so you can prepare yourself and begin to find some type of normal balance in your life? Where are you? Now, I can speak for those who are still working. I can empathize with this, but some of us are dreading going back to work tomorrow. And some of you are fortunate enough to be retired, so I don't know what that looks like, but one of these days, we that work shall find out, we hope. But some of us are dreading going back. Friends, this is a very common feeling. It's known as the post-holiday blues. No more ho, ho, ho and Merry Christmas. Just long sighs and post-holiday hums is about the best you're going to get. I imagine that we are not the only ones who have suffered from the holiday hums and the sighs and the tiredness and being wore out. I want to go back this morning in Scripture and pick up where we left off. I want you to consider the people in our story this morning who were present with Jesus when he was born. What do you suppose it was like for them the day after Christmas? Take, for instance, our wise men. We didn't talk about them much this morning in Luke, but we know they were there. What about those guys? What about those guys? Scholars estimate that it took them several months to get to Bethlehem from the west. What we do know is they did not stay. They came and provided their gifts and went on their way. They faced a long and tough journey back home to the east, perhaps at least as long back as it was to actually arrive in Bethlehem when they decided to come. In modern day terms, we use the term a long road. It was a long road for the wise men home, make no mistake. What about the shepherds? We hear a lot in Luke this morning in the scripture we read about the shepherds and their amazing event, what they witnessed that night, that holy night. They simply went back to being shepherds, though. They just simply went back to the grind. In fact, being a shepherd wasn't a glamorous and highly sought after profession, was it? It was not. You notice in the story in Luke this morning that we read, the angels went to them. Jesus was born, all the hype, and the angels went to him and told him, come. Come see it. They were outcasted. They were taking care of their duty. You see, in those days, it was a pretty poor job to be a shepherd. They actually went back to work day after Christmas of being hated and despised, outcasted, and unwanted. How about Bethlehem City, perhaps? You see, during this census, it was the first time it had ever been done. The city was probably had approximately 1,000 people in it, and it turned out to have 20 plus thousand people in it being called to take a census. So I tried to capture that in a modern day parallel. And the best way I can describe it is a Harrisonburg town or a Blacksburg town. When the students go to school and you got 40,000 people showing up in these small towns, and then all of a sudden you have winter break, everybody goes home. Good riddance, we're going home. And it's a whole different dynamic in those two small Virginia towns. I would imagine that Bethlehem was very similar to that. And so the day after Christmas, Bethlehem probably became a very small and, again, insignificant town. Possibly quite deserted, comparatively speaking, to when Jesus was born. How about Mary and Joseph? Remember, they were on the run. They were headed to Egypt because the angel had warned them to flee. They just simply stopped over to have a baby. Friends, this doesn't sound like great times to me. I've never been on the run, but I've been the pursuer. And I can tell you that that is very stressful. It's high energy, and it's not a great place to be, even for those who are looking for those people on the run. It is not glamorous by no stretch of the imagination. And we have spent 6 long weeks preparing for the glamorous arrival of our Savior Jesus Christ. But friends, he didn't come in a glamorous setting. He came to us in a manger, in a stable. You know, the mood being cast so far here today is not one of joy, not one of hope, not one of peace, and certainly not one of love. Actually, it is a far cry from what we did yesterday, the celebration that we shared with each other yesterday, and certainly a far cry from the celebration that we shared with each other on Christmas Eve. This is very odd to me, because we're supposed to be in the season of hope, joy, peace, and love. And this is the picture that I painted for you this morning. But don't give up hope yet. There is one last character I haven't mentioned, at least in this story. And I want to focus on that character this morning, especially the day after Christmas. I think these folks represent us. So I want to talk about the angels. How about the angels? Imagine the joy of Gabriel as he got to go and tell Mary, "The baby's coming. You will carry God's child." Can you imagine the joy that he had to serve God in that capacity? Immense joy. On the other side, imagine the frustration, but the joy, and perhaps also the unbelief of the angel that went to Joseph and said, "Look, dude, Mary's going to have a baby, and we know it's not yours, but we, God, is calling you to do something. Come on, help us. Come on and be the husband that you intend to be." Imagine the incomparable happiness of the angel that announced the birth to the shepherds that night. You see, we learn in that story that they had a heavenly host of angels with them. They had backup, sharing the good news of the birth of Jesus Christ. They broke out in Scripture in amazing song. God was doing and has done something amazing. God in flesh. Do we truly know what this means? God in flesh. You see, mankind, creation itself, for hundreds of years had been yearning to God for salvation, begging him for it. And here it was, in a manger, as a baby child. Here it was. God had done it. You know, if we look at another analogy of sports, it's like heaven had just tied the game in the last couple seconds of the fourth quarter. In fantastic fashion, God had taken that stadium from a seated position to on their feet, rallying behind the whole thing, the fans going wild, no one taking a seat, everyone on their feet, cheering on God and His salvation through the gift of Christ Jesus. Do you suppose they are ready like you prepare, you appear to be this morning? Do you suppose the fans in heaven who have just shared the story of Christ Jesus and the salvation that He brings, do you think they feel like you do this morning? Wiped out, wore out, knocked out? Do you think they feel that way? Do you think they want the game to be over? No, they don't. They want the game to go on. You know, one of the things about Christmas Eve is it was 15 minutes after 10. The place was still practically full. Nobody wanted to go home. Here in this chapel of hope, peace, love, you didn't want to go home. And you had things to do to prepare for Christmas. And yet, the service was completed at 9:26, and at 10:15, people were still talking. It was a glorious sight. You didn't want it to be over either. But this morning, the day after Christmas, you may feel wiped out. I think there's a huge lesson here, guys, to be learned from the angels in Scripture. I speak daily in my professional role about keeping the right mindset. When I talk to my staff, I try to be positive and tell them to keep the right mindset. You see, we work in an environment that you can go downhill pretty quick. It's tough. But mindset is the key. I said in my Christmas Eve message to you Friday night that the short few weeks leading up to Christmas, we stopped Christmas Eve, this service, and the celebration of Christmas causes us a sense of pause. We retool and shift gears in preparation for the Christmas holiday season. You see, we come into this season at Mach 600, and all of a sudden, boom, it's here. And we pause. We retool. We think differently. We speak differently. We act differently. We do things differently. And one of the things that we do is we grab around us our families and our loved ones. Why? Because it's important. What about the mindset this morning after Christmas? Where is it? Will it be the same as it was just a day before yesterday? Yes, yesterday has closed, but this morning sunset is over, and the sunrise is the new day. It is now your focus. The joy of Jesus' arrival doesn't have to end because we simply closed the chapter on 2021 Christmas holiday season. In fact, I encourage you never to close the book. Friends, we should be more like angels. In fact, we should be like chiming and ringing bells. Think about this for a second. We are followers and disciples of Jesus Christ. We should be loud and proud. Our position as Christians in the world, especially the day after Christmas, should be a mindset of celebration. Bells have been used throughout history for all kinds of occasions. For worship, for war, for peace, to warn us of danger, to sound a public alarm, to announce a death, to proclaim liberty, to celebrate joy, to tell the time, to make music, and finally to announce something amazing. In fact, bells show up in Scripture. Exodus 28, 33 through 35 reads like this. God instructs Moses concerning the creation of the high priestly garment for Aaron, requiring gold bells to be sewn onto the hem of the sleeve, that so the sound of the bells as he moved inside the holy place would indicate that he was alive and not dead. I thought about this scripture this morning as I made some adjustments to this sermon at our dining room table. And I thought about it from a modern day perspective, knowing who Aaron was. You know, if we needed to sew bells onto our pastors so that we could tell whether they were alive or not, it's probably time for them to seek other venues of profession. I'm not your pastor by no stretch of the imagination, but if I see anybody grabbing a needle and some thread and jingling a bell to catch me on the way out the door, I'll get your message. Bells have a significant place in our life. So let me get back there. Church bells specifically have long called the community around the church to worship. And I think that this entire Christmas season should lead us to do the same. Guys, we have been given a great gift. In fact, we've been given the greatest gift of all time. And it is high time to celebrate. We should not look like a football team coming out off the stadium after the fourth quarter. We should look like the football team this morning that burst through the banner the cheerleaders hold. The time to worship God is now. For all that He has done for us, it is now time for us to step up to the line and ring a bell for Him. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to sit quietly. Close your eyes for a second, and I want you to listen to the piece. Now I want you to listen for something else. It is hard to miss and hard to ignore the sound of a church bell. Ringing across a town or a city, thus so should our love for God and God for us be hard to miss in us. We, friends, should be hard to ignore this morning. We should not appear defeated. We should be game ready. Your post-Christmas job has been assigned. Go and be fishermen of men, Scripture declares, and ring like a bell in the name of Jesus Christ. Let your bell ring out, calling people to Him. Ring your bell through your actions and your words and your deeds. Be the Liberty Bell. You see, I represent the Liberty Bell. All of us are like the Liberty Bell, aren't we? We all have a few cracks and some scratches on us, but we still have the ability to make a godly noise. And that's exactly what we should do this immediate day after Christmas. During Christmas, we can find bells all over the place. They're still in our decorations. They're everywhere. And unless you did something last night that I couldn't foresee today before speaking to you, your decorations are still up. I know you didn't box them up this quick. Go grab those bells. They're everywhere. Those bells today await each of us. They still are adorned everywhere. God has brought into the world Jesus Christ, His Son. But soon, maybe as soon as today, people will start to fade away. It actually is a shame, really. because the time for bell ringing and the time for celebration and the time for all the things that come in the Christmas season is now. The gift is already here. Our job is to go tell the world. Share in the good news that we know already. So the message title this morning is not pack up your boxes and stow in the closet. The message this morning's title is onward. Onward now. Where do we go from here? We now have the gift. It's our job to share it. We may feel like the wise men. We may feel like the shepherds or the city of Bethlehem or even like Mary and Joseph. But we should celebrate like the angels. Christmas Day is indeed over, but our joy and happiness should never be. I hope as you leave God's house this morning, this place of worship that we lovingly call Bethel, I hope as you leave this morning, there's a small part of you that says, "Where is my bell? Where is my bell? For unto you was born this day in the city of David a Savior. He is Christ the King. Go tell it on the mountain. Go tell it in the valleys. Go tell it where it has never been heard before. Go tell the world. Be his bell, for he is your bell. You see, Christ coming to you will ring your bell. Not in a bad way. You will go to heaven because he is ringing your bell. Today you are charged to ring his. Do not be defeated. You are not down. You are in the game. Now is the time to ring. Go onward and ring your bell. Amen.